إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Alhamdulillah, we praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray. And whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib, a watcher over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a strain, and every strain is in the hellfire. Before we continue our lesson today, and we're going back to the aqidah where we left off with that which takes place after death, but I just wanted us to just reflect a quick moment on the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the khutbatul hajjah that we hear before our lessons. And that's his statement sallallahu alayhi wa sallam: man yahdihi Allah fala mudilla lah wa man yudlil fala hadiya lah. That whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. That this issue of guidance is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have to praise Allah and thank Allah for guiding us to this deen, walhamdulillah. And that if it wasn't for the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that none of us would be guided to this truth of Islam. And that for those people that we see out there who aren't guided, if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala doesn't guide them, they will remain astray. And you can preach to them and you can call them to the truth all you like, but whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has led astray, there is no guide for him. And when we believe in this and we think about this, it makes us feel comfortable about our Islam, so that we can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as he ought to be worshipped and die as Muslims. Because we know that whatever Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has decreed from the people being guided and from the people of being astray are the truth. And when we submit to that, then we can feel comfortable about worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and calling the people to the truth, whether they believe in it or not, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already decreed who will be guided and who will be astray. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among the guided and to allow us to die on this guidance. Today, inshallah, we're starting with the chapter of the Mizan, or the scales. The chapter of Mizan, or the scales. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Anbiya, verse number 47, tells us, ونضع الموازين القسط ليوم القيامة فلا تظلم نفس شيئا وإن كان مثقال حبة من خردل أتينا بها وكفى بنا حاسبين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we have placed the scales of truth or justice on the day of resurrection, and that no soul will be wronged at all. And if it was just a mustard seed that someone has done, whether good or bad, then Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will hold them accountable for that. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is establishing for their believers the point in their aqidah and their belief that we believe in the scales that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is going to place for the justice on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and those scales are the scales that would weigh the good deeds and the bad deeds of the believers and the disbelievers. And we had mentioned already in the classes previously that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to hold us accountable for what we do in this world. And we were mentioning that all of our deeds are recorded in the book, and we will be given our book. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us another point of our belief of being accountable to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala for what we do in this world, is the scales. And that when we're living our lives, that we're trying to make our scales heavy with good deeds, and we're trying to stay away from the bad deeds, because on Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is going to weigh the believers and their deeds in those scales. And whoever's scales are heavy with good deeds, then they will be among the successful. And whoever's scales are light, without any good deeds, then they will be among the losers, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Qariyah. فَمَنْ ثَقَلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةَ الرَّاضِيَةِ وَمَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَةِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا هِيَ نَارٌ حَامِيَةٌ. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us, whoever has his scales heavy on that day, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, then he will be in a pleasant life, in Jannah, enjoying the reward of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And as for the one whose scales are light, meaning he doesn't have any good deeds, no belief, no obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then his abode will be the Hawiyah. And what will make you realize what that is? It is the blazing fire. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse and in many verses in the Quran is showing us that our deeds will be weighed in the scales on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and the one with a heavy scale with good deeds will be rewarded, and the one that doesn't have any good deeds will be punished. We always mention, and I don't mind mentioning every single class, that our belief is that which encourages us to practice and do good deeds, righteous deeds, and to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our belief in this mizan is just another point of our belief that encourages us directly to do good deeds, because we know that our deeds will be weighed on Yawm al-Qiyamah by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, as He holds all of us accountable for what we do in this world. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an authentic hadith, as he says in this hadith collected by Ibn Abi Asim in his book called As-Sunnah, and he has the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, المزان بيد الرحمن يرفع قوما ويضع آخرين إلى يوم القيامة. That the mizan or the scales are in the hand of Ar-Rahman, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and that He will raise people and He will humiliate people on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah. Here Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us the reality of those scales, that they're in the hands of Ar-Rahman, as this authentic hadith from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that people will be raised to Jannah because of these scales, or people will be lowered into the hellfire because of these scales. These scales, the mizan, they're real, and we have to be conscious of our deeds when we think about our belief in the mizan. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shows this in the hadith that many of us are aware of from Al-Bukhari and Muslim. The seriousness of the scales or the reality in starting small and working our way up to build our scales heavy, as he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كَلِمَتَانِ خَفِيفَتَانِ عَلَى اللِّسَانِ حَبِيبَتَانِ إِلَى الرَّحْمَانِ ثَقِيلَتَانِ فِي الْمِيزَانِ حَبِيبَتَانِ إِلَى الرَّحْمَانِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَبِحَمْدِهِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says there are two words that are very light on the tongue and heavy in the scales. Beloved to Ar-Rahman, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving us an example of what we can put in our scales for Yawmul Qiyamah that would benefit us. And it's the simple statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. That these two words, these two phrases that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to remember Allah tabarak wa ta'ala with are very heavy in our scales on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and for this we should keep our tongues wet with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying Subhanallah wa bihamdihi Subhanallah al-Azim. And here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us that we shouldn't belittle any little good deed. We shouldn't overlook visiting the sick. We shouldn't overlook saying Ya Rahamukallah to the person who sneezes and says Alhamdulillah. We shouldn't overlook giving gifts to the Muslims in order to peace the love among the believers. We shouldn't overlook straightening the rules when we make our salat. We shouldn't overlook being kind to our parents, whether they're believers or they're disbelievers. We shouldn't overlook giving the salam to the Muslims and shaking the Muslims' hand. We shouldn't belittle anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has commanded us to do or recommended us to do, because the reward is going to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We shouldn't overlook the chance to give our charity for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to fight fi sabilillah. Anything that we could do to have our scales heavy on Yawm al-Qiyamah, we have to always keep it in our mind to be putting those good deeds in those scales, so that on Yawm al-Qiyamah we can be among the people who have heavy scales. And we had mentioned early on when we started our classes that the book that we find that has the detailed good deeds mentioned by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in this Quran, or the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Sunnah, that which has been authentically recorded on him, is from the book Riyad al-Salihin, or Gardens of the Righteous. Whoever wants his scales to be heavy on Yawm al-Qiyamah, let him read Gardens of the Righteous by Imam al-Nawawi and start to practice those ayat and to practice those hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that we can start building a case for ourselves on Yawm al-Qiyamah by making our scales heavy. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to sum up this point, has showed us the heaviest, weightiest thing we can drop in our scales on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and that is from his statement from the hadith of Abu Dawood, and it's authentic. مَا مِن شَيْءٍ فِي الْمِيزَانِ أَثْقَلُ مِن خُلُقٍ حُسَنٍ مِن خُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. The Messenger of Allah ﷺ said in this authentic hadith that there is nothing weightier, more heavier in the scales than good character. And that the believer is always conscious of his character, as the Messenger of Allah ﷺ put the emphasis on perfecting our character with this statement from the hadith of Imam Malik in his Muwatta, and it's authentic. إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I have only been sent to perfect good character. The Messenger of Allah ﷺ puts a lot of importance on good character for the believer, as we see from this hadith of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ showing us that the heaviest things in the scales is good character. And we had mentioned before that one of the fruits of proper belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is good character with our body parts. That the people who believe in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala properly, who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as he ought to be feared, you can see it from his character. And that we had mentioned before that no one is going to be fooled by the statement of the deviant murji'ah, who say that their iman, that my deen is in my heart. He's a sinner, he's an open criminal, disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, walking around trying to convince the people how good he is because he's a Muslim. If we really fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as he ought to be feared, if we believe on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He wants us to believe, and we believe in that which He wants us to believe in and disbelieve in that which He wants us to disbelieve in, you find that our character will be perfected. You find that what is in our heart would express itself on our body parts. As the Prophet ﷺ said, when he mentioned the piece of flesh in the heart, in the body, if it is correct and righteous, then the rest of the body is correct and righteous. And if it is corrupt, then the rest of the body is corrupt. And if the heart, as the Messenger of Allah ﷺ explained in this hadith collected by Imam Muslim or Bukhari and Muslim, or one of the two. So the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, he showed us that if we believe correctly, if we hold the correct belief in our heart of this deed, that it will show on our body parts. And this is an example from the statement of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, that there is nothing weightier on the scales on Yawm al-Qiyamah other than good character. And we also know from the long hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Al-Bukhari and Muslim, the hadith known as Hadith al-Bataqa, the hadith of the card, when the worst Muslim, when his deeds are being weighed and he has the earth worth of sins and nothing in his scale on good deeds, and he knows that he's finished, it will be said, wait a minute, we have one thing to put in his scale for good deeds. And they pull out a card, and that card has La ilaha illallah on it. And everyone's looking at the weight of the bad deeds that he has in his scales, and no good deeds at all on his other side. And then they drop in there the card that has La ilaha illallah, and La ilaha illallah tips the scales. And this is what Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has guided the believers to. He has guided us to this statement of La ilaha illallah. And we ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to allow us to die on this statement, La ilaha illallah. As the Prophet ﷺ taught us in the hadith of Sahih Muslim, Man kana akhiru kalamihi min ad-dunya, La ilaha illallah, dakhla al-jannah. That whoever has his last speech of this world, La ilaha illallah, enters Jannah. And this is an encouragement for the believers to always remember Allah by constantly making the statement La ilaha illallah. When he finds free time in the day, at the bus stop, on his lunch break, or whatever, to be saying La ilaha illallah, so that when you die, if you're sick before you die and you're out of it, that the only thing that you will mimic are those things that you say often. And if you say La ilaha illallah often enough, even if you're sick and you're fainting and coming back conscious, that it would be easy for you to say La ilaha illallah, as your tongue is so accustomed to saying La ilaha illallah. And we know that this La ilaha illallah, if we can die on it sincerely in our heart, that this thing will guarantee us that our scales would be heavy enough to enter Jannah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among the people of La ilaha illallah and the people of Jannah. The next chapter is the chapter of the Sirat. The chapter of the Sirat, or the chapter of the bridge. The chapter of the bridge. And we have the ayat from Surah Maryam, verse number 71, where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us, وَإِن مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا كَانَ عَلَى رَبِّكَ حَتْمًا مَقَضِيًّا. And there is not one person except that he will cross over it. It has been decreed by your Lord. It has been decreed by your Lord, or as they translate this verse. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that everyone will cross over that bridge. And even Hafsa bint Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhuma, the wife of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the mother of the believers, when she heard this verse, she was frightened. Because when you hear it, it says everyone's going to enter into the hellfire. And we know that the Sirat, as the Messenger of Allah ﷺ teaches us in the authentic hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim, and you find that most of these hadith are authentic, and I'm just going to motion to them and not to actually quote them out. The Prophet ﷺ teaches us that this Sirat is placed over top of the hellfire. That this Sirat is over top of the hellfire. And that when Hafsa, the daughter of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, had read this ayah, she thought that even the believers were finished. as everyone was going to enter into the hellfire. And then the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had explained to her that this is the crossing over the bridge. That this is the crossing over the bridge, over the hellfire, that even the believers have to cross over that sirat, over the hellfire, in order to get to the safe side where the people will be taken to Jannah. This sirat that the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is mentioning, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is referring to in this ayah, and that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions in many, many authentic hadith, all of us will have to cross over this sirat. As the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam shows us from this hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim, and this is just part of the hadith, فَيَأْتِيهُمُ اللَّهُ فَيَقُولُ أَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَيَقُولُونَ أَنْتَ رَبُّنَا فَيُدْعَوْنَ فَيُضْرَبُ الصِّرَاطُ بَيْنَ ظَهْرَانَيْ جَهَنَّمَ فأكون أول من يجوز من الرسل بأمته ولا يتكلم يومئذ أحد إلا الرسل وكلام الرسل يومئذ اللهم سلم سلم. And in another narration, ربي سلم سلم. Here the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said that Allah Ta'ala would come on يوم القيامة and say, I am your Lord. And they will say, you are our Lord. And then they will be called, and the sirat will be placed over the sides of the hellfire, over Jahannam. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, I will be the first one to cross it, me and my ummah. I will be the first one to cross it from among the messengers with his ummah. No one would speak on that day except the messengers, and their statement would be, O Allah, make us safe, make us safe. O Allah, make us safe, make us safe. As we know from other hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he shows us that the people will cross across the sirat according to their deeds. That some people will go across the sirat like a flash of lightning. And other people would go across like a fast breeze. And then other people would be crawling across. And other people would go across getting all scratched up by the hooks that are on the sirat. And other people would fall off of it. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us, to save us. As the messengers say, Rabbi Sallam, Sallam. As we know from other hadith, the statement of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu from Sahih Muslim, that the description of this sirat is that it's like a strand of hair. And in another narration, it's like a razor. And in other narrations from the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that it has hooks on it. Hooks that will snatch the people off, or that will slow them down according to their deeds. Here the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is painting for us a real picture of what will take place after our death. The hellfire will be placed out there. As Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala tells us at in Surah Al-Fajr, وَجِيَ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِجَهَنَّمْ فَيَوْمَئِذٍ يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانُ وَأَنَّ لَهُ ذِكْرَى. On that day, Jahannam will be placed before the people. On that day, the people will remember, but how will that remembrance benefit them? When that hellfire is placed before the people, everybody's going to remember, oh, I was supposed to do good deeds to stay away from that. And if I didn't, I'm going into it. But how would it benefit him when it's right before him if he didn't do his good deeds right now? The Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is speaking about that Jahannam that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has prepared for the disbelievers, for the disobedient. And the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is showing us that there's a bridge that's over top of that Jahannam. And that it's like a strand of hair or like a razor. It has hooks on it to snatch you off. And that the people will go across that bridge according to their deeds. And that even the messengers of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the closest people to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, the people with the strongest belief in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the strongest iman, the best deeds, the people who Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has guaranteed Jannah and chosen them to be guides for humanity, when they know that they have to cross that sirat, they're going to be saying, Allahumma sallam sallam, Rabbi sallam sallam. Can you imagine the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seeing the Jahannam place there, and this thin bridge, sharp as a razor, over top of the Jahannam, and he has his deeds to help him get across. The deeds of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he knows that only his deeds will help him get across that sirat, and he's saying, Allahumma sallam sallam, oh Allah, just make me safe. Oh Allah, make me safe. Let me go over this bridge with safety. What are we going to say with the deeds that we have? And it's just upon us to just look at our lives up to right now, and to look at how much sin we have, and to look at the little bit of good deeds that we did. What do you think we're going to say to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala when we see that hellfire and that bridge right over there with hooks ready to snatch the people off? Sin as a razor, and you have to go across it, and the only thing that's going to help you are your deeds. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us. And this belief that we hold, this is real. It's not like I'm narrating from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a mystery movie or a worst nightmare. This is the truth, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam brings us the truth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this Quran, he brings the truth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing this for us to frighten us from disobedience, to frighten us from disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the one who is a believer would benefit from this reminder. This is a reminder from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to benefit us in our lives. And the more we try to correct our belief and to remind ourselves of what we believe in, the better we're going to be, inshallah ta'ala. So this is the sirat. This is the sirat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to place over the Jahannam, and that the people are going to go across according to their deeds. And sometimes it makes me think that if this doesn't encourage us to do good deeds and to stay away from bad deeds, what's going to encourage us? If this doesn't encourage us to do good deeds and stay away from bad deeds, what's going to encourage us? What's going to discourage us from staying away from wrong if we know we got to cross that bridge and all we have is bad deeds, hooks waiting to snatch us off and just throw us in the hellfire? The next point after the bridge, the sirat, is the hawb of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hawb of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the hawb is a reservoir or a large body of water that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam with. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to the Prophet sallam, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar, Fasalli li rabbika wanhar, Inna shaniyaka huwa al-abtar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this surah to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, indeed we have given you the Kawthar, so make salat to your Lord and slaughter. Indeed, inna shaniyaka huwa al-abtar. I forgot the meaning. Could someone remind me of the meaning of this last verse in Surah Al-Kawthar? Yeah, Jazakallah khairan. Indeed, the enemy is the one who is cut off from good. Jazakallah khairan. In this last verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was comforting the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as they were saying, you don't have any men, children, to carry your mission after you. So it's no problem. Okay, you got over on us while you were living and we couldn't kill you, but you don't have no men, children to carry that mission on, so it's going to die off when you die, so we'll just wait for you to die. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the one who is cut off are going to be the enemies of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The ones who disbelieve and disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're going to be the ones who are going to be cut off from any good. But Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he brought this deen of truth, and that it will prevail over all other deens, and that the mentioning of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would always be here, as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us from Surah سورة الشرح. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك. This is the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we have raised you for remembrance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to always be remembered, and to have the people say after it, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Allah has blessed his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the Kawthar, as we see from this surah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains what this Kawthar is from the authentic hadith collected by Imam Muslim, where they said to the Prophet where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أتدرون ما الكوثر؟ قلنا الله ورسوله أعلم. قال فإنه نهر وعدنيه ربي عز وجل عليه خير كثير هو حوض ترد عليه أمتي يوم القيامة آنيته عدد النجوم فيختلج العبد منهم فأقول ربي إنه من أمتي فيقول ما تدري ما أحدث بعدك. Here the Messenger of Allah said, do you all know what Al-Kawthar is? They said, Allah and His Messenger knows best. The Prophet said, indeed it is a river that my Lord Azza wa Jal has promised me. It has a lot of good in it. It is the Hawd. And here the Prophet is showing us that it is the Hawd. It's a river, it's a body of water that would be presented to my Ummah on Yawm al-Qiyamah. The vessels of it are like the number of stars in the sky. And people would be chased away or pushed away from this body of water. And I will say, and this is the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam speaking, and I will say, indeed he is from my Ummah. And it will be said, you don't know what they have innovated after you. Here, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us that we believe in that which has been presented to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called the Hawd. And there are many authentic hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Al-Bukhari and Muslim, as we see the different narrations describing this Hawd, as narrations describe that it will be whiter, the color is whiter than milk, that it would be sweeter than honey, that the length of it and the width of it is like that which is between the heavens and the earth. And the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also tells us that whoever drinks from it will never ever be thirsty again. And this is the virtues of drinking from the Hawd, that whoever drinks from it will never ever be thirsty again. And this is one of the rewards of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala for His believing servants, that He will let them drink from the Hawd of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that afterwards they would never ever get thirsty again. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us a point at the end of this description of the Hawd, and that is the point that some of the Muslims will be chased away from this Hawd. By Muslims, the people who are outwardly Muslims, as we see them to be a Muslim, he comes to the masjid, maybe makes Jumu'ah or what have you, and we know that he's a Muslim. And the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam even is going to be fooled by saying, why is he being chased away? He's a Muslim. And it will be said, you don't know what they innovated after you. Here the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is showing us that after we believe in that Hawd, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among the people who will drink from that Hawd, that there will be some Muslims who will be chased away from the Hawd of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the reason that they will be chased away from that Hawd is because they have innovated in this deen that which has no place in this deen. And this is from that which we have mentioned in the beginning of our talk from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Indeed, the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen. And every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah. And every bid'ah is a strain, and every strain is in the hellfire. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith is warning us in the strongest terms to stay away from the bid'ah, because bid'ah is a straying, and a straying is in the hellfire, or as they explain it, the person who practices that straying is in the hellfire, as he's going to be chased away from the hold of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as there will be said to him, suhqan suhqan laka, or as it comes in the other narration, that get away from here, get away from here, because you innovated in this deen that which has no place in this deen, because you practice a bid'ah. And a bid'ah, as we were explaining yesterday, it is that which, I think we mentioned it in classes previously, a bid'ah is that which the people do in order to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it has no basis in this deen, is not established from the book of Allah or the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. As some people this month, they're having, I think, some celebrations for the Isra wal Mi'raj, for the ascension of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the night journey. The people are celebrating, as the people celebrate the Prophet's birthday sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that these innovations in this deen, practicing something in order to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it has no basis in the Quran or the Sunnah, this is called a bid'ah. And whoever practices this bid'ah is astray, and he will be in the hellfire and chased away from the hold of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And this point of our belief is to discourage us in the strongest terms from practicing anything to get closer to our Lord tabarak wa ta'ala that has no basis in the book of Allah or in the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And I remember when one of our shaykh, Abu Bakr al-Jazairi hafadhuullah, who teaches in the Prophet's Masjid in Al-Madina, and one of his books has been translated into English called Minhaj al-Muslim, and it's a good book, alhamdulillah. One day he was mentioning in his talk about bid'ah, some of the bid'ah of the people, and he gave this example that I'm giving of celebrating the Prophet's birthday. The people there in Medina were surprised. Sheikh, what's wrong with you? How in the world are you going to tell us that we're practicing a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a strain, and every strain is in the hellfire, and we're only celebrating the Prophet's birthday as respect for the Prophet ﷺ and love for the Prophet ﷺ and to get closer to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala? The Shaykh said, I seek refuge and Allah from you. After the person made that statement, the Shaykh said, A'udhu billahi minka. I seek refuge in Allah from you. Just from making that statement. As the Shaykh, who is a very gentle Shaykh, if the people know him, he has the biggest lesson in the Prophet's Masjid. If you see the biggest, largest gathering in the Prophet's Masjid, you know it's from the lesson of Abu Bakr al-Jazairi hafadhuullah, because of his gentleness and his easiness with the people. But that day the Shaykh was showing the seriousness of innovating something in this deen by the person just showing that we were only trying to do good. The Shaykh said, I seek refuge in Allah from you. The people were so surprised and wanted to support him. Yeah, Shaykh, you can't say that to him. We do it too. And we love Allah and we love His Messenger. And the Shaykh said, A'udhu billahi minkum antum jami'a. And if someone knows Arabic, he knows the seriousness or the weightiness of this statement of the Shaykh. I seek refuge in Allah from all of y'all. Every single person that's going to support this stuff, I seek refuge in Allah from y'all. I ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to protect me from falling into that which you all fell into, that if you don't leave it, you go into the hellfire because of it. And it's because of this bid'ah. And this bid'ah is something that is seemingly good to the people, but it will get them to the hellfire. And we know from the statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, كَمْ مِنْ مُرِيدٍ لِلْخَيْرٍ لَنْ يُصِيبَهُ. And how often does the person who wants to do good never does it? And he had mentioned this when the people were in the masjid following the Shaykh making this type of dhikr. He has some rocks. Okay, say Alhamdulillah with me. And then say La ilaha illallah and so on. Ibn Abbas, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he came to the Masjid and said, what you people think you're doing? The Prophet vessels and plates, utensils, haven't even been broken yet. His clothing hasn't even worn out yet. And here you are inventing in this deen something you have no right to do. They said, we only wanted to do good. And he made his statement, how often does someone want to do good and he doesn't hit the mark? These people who are celebrating the birthday of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they're innovating into this deen that which no one has a right to do so. And that their practicing of this will lead them to the hellfire. And that their statement, we only want to do good, is of no benefit for them. And don't try to be fooled by misunderstanding the statement of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ, actions are by their intentions. I intended to do good, I'm safe. No, you have to have good, pure intentions to do your thing sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah, in accordance with the deen of Allah, that which was brought by Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has discouraged us in other authentic hadith from staying away from this bid'ah, like the hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha from Sahih Muslim and al-Bukhari, man ahdatha fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu fahuwa rad, that whoever innovates a bid'ah in this deen of ours, then it's not accepted or it's rejected. This is for the narration for the people who invent any bid'ahs to warn the believers from inventing something into this deen. And then from the other narration, man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fahuwa rad, from the narration of Imam Muslim, that whoever practices a practice that has not been, that is not from this deen, then it won't be accepted. Don't have the flimsy excuse of the people who we've heard say, as they have mentioned to the Shaykh, we didn't invent celebrating the Prophet's birthday. Our parents are Muslims, we following them and respecting the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We didn't invent anything, we followed the people in it. How are you going to say it's rejected? The Shaykh mentions the other narration, whoever does a practice that's not from this deen is rejected. Even though you didn't invent that bid'ah, so long as you practice that which was invented by someone else, it's still not accepted. And the Shaykh went on to challenge them. Tell me you found them celebrating the birthday of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Andalus, in Spain, when the Muslims were in Spain. Tell them the companions of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they were practicing celebration of the birthday of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Tell me the Tabi'een, the Tabi'een. This stuff is a new invention from the people who have deviated from Islam. And whether you invented it or you in practice that innovation, that bid'ah, that which is not from this deen, it won't be accepted from you. It won't be accepted from you. And on Yawm al-Qiyamah, when the believers are drinking from the hawd of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will be chased away. Get out of here. Get out of here, because what you invented. And some of us, we're going to want to bring our friends, as we see the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, why are you chasing him away? He's from my ummah. And they said, you don't know what they invented after you. And that all of this bid'ah came after the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. There's another point. That we want to clear up here about the issue of bid'ah. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says about his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ, that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not speak on his own desires, he only speaks from revelation revealed to him. Is there anyone in this room that believes that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lied to us? Is there anyone who believes that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lied to us? Did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speak the truth to the believers? The Prophet ﷺ said, as we mentioned in the beginning of all of our talks from the hadith of Sahih Muslim, كُلُّ بِدَعَةٍ وَلَالَ, every bid'ah is a strain. When we say that the Prophet ﷺ didn't lie to us, then we're going to say what he said, every bid'ah is a strain. What are we going to say if somebody says, yeah, Shaykh, isn't some bid'ah good? And people say this. I'm amazed that the people can say that the Prophet ﷺ speaks the truth, he hasn't lied, and we believe in the authentic hadith of Sahih Muslim, every bid'ah is a strain. They are confused about
their statement, some bid'ahs are okay. Now we know from the statement of the Prophet ﷺ that there's no such thing as a good bid'ah. Any bid'ah is a bad bid'ah. That which is good is termed by the Messenger of Allah ﷺ as a sunnatun hasana. As a sunnatun hasana, or a good way that has been established for the believers. And this was from the hadith, and maybe some of the people know, when the Prophet ﷺ and them, I think they were coming from back from a battle, and they saw some people, and the people were as poor as anybody could ever be. One of the companions said, let's just donate, everybody give some money, so I can go give it to help those people, because look at them. The Prophet ﷺ was pleased with the statement of his companion, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and said that whoever establishes this good sunnah, this good way, would be rewarded for it, and that everyone and he will be rewarded from the other people who practice that good sunnah that he has established. And also whoever has established a bad way, then he would get the sin of it and the sin of everyone else who follows him in that bad practice. Like the person who has established this way of giving charity, and we see that the believers are still on this way, alhamdulillah. If we find a brother or a sister is in need, we say, Akhi, I have a sister that's in need. Everybody, let's donate some money so we can go help that family. This has been practiced from the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with that advice of that companion. And inshallah ta'ala, as long as this is being practiced, he's going to get all of that reward. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also showed on the opposite side, whoever sets up this bad way, he's going to be punished by it. Like the person who established for the believers celebration of the Prophet's birthday. Can you imagine all of the Muslims who will practice this innovation in this deen, and that all of that sin is not only on them, but it's on the one who invented it? Where is that person going to be gathering all of the sin of everyone who practices this innovation? This good sunnah that is something new in the deen is based on this deen. It's something new in the deen is based on the deen. We use the microphone to call the adhan. And you know that the mu'adhin is rewarded how far his voice extends. When you take the microphone and the speaker and the amp, his voice goes even farther and he gets more reward, inshallah ta'ala. The use of this to help propagate Islam and to spread the adhan to the people so they can answer the call to salah. The using of this is new, but it's a new way to do that which has already been established by this deen, and that is calling the adhan. When you take something new and you use it in a manner to do that which has already been established by this deen, this is called the sunnatul hasanah. But when you invent something that has no basis in the deen, that which is a bid'ah. This thing about celebrating birthdays, the Prophet ﷺ died, alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala raised him to the Rafiq al-A'la, gave him the verse, Al-Yawm Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum. This day I perfected for you your deen. Tell me what in that perfection has the celebration of birthdays got to do with anything. Tell me where in the Quran or in the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we see you show respect to a person by celebrating his birthday. That you remember him more on his birthday. Nothing. Even the Muslims never use this. They could have used the calendar for the Muslims from the birthday of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They used it from the hijra of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nothing from Islam about birthdays being okay for you. And even some of the brothers that told me that the birthday is the holiday, the biggest holiday of the devil worshippers. That the biggest way that the devil worshippers worship the devil is by celebrating their own birthday. And then you still have the Muslims, they celebrate in their birthdays, let alone just the Prophet's birthday. At any rate, this is the difference between the sunnatun hasana, or that thing that is new, that is good, that is encouraged from this deen, and that which is a bid'ah. Because all bid'ah is a strain, all bid'ah is bad, and all bid'ah leads to the hellfire. And I hope that this point is clear, because we don't need to be confused into thinking that an air conditioner is a bid'ah, and a TV set is a bid'ah, and a watch is a bid'ah, and everything is a bid'ah nowadays, if it wasn't around during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. traffic lights are bid'ah, cars are bid'ah. This is just foolishness. The bid'ah are those things that the people use, those ways that the people use to get closer to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. To practice Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala's deen that has no basis in the Quran and the Sunnah. This is a bid'ah and it won't be accepted from anyone. And whoever engages this will be in the hellfire and he will be chased away from the hawd of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. However, that which has already been established in this deen, and someone's reviving it or helping the people to practice it, then that person will get the reward of it, inshaAllah ta'ala. As one of the brothers has advised us, if someone was to make an announcement every Sunday night like tonight, tomorrow is Monday, let's fast for the sake of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And every Monday someone tries to mention this as a reminder to the people. He hasn't invented anything in this deen. He's trying to call the people to practice that which has already been established by this deen. And this isn't an innovation in this deen, because he hasn't brought anything new to the deen of Islam. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala encourages us to remind the believers, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and remind them because the reminder benefits the believers. But you chose to remind the people in this fashion in order to benefit them from something that's already from this deen. There's no bid'ah involved in this, because there has a basis in this deen. The bid'ah is where something has no basis in this deen. So this is our belief in the hawd of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the large body of water that the believers will drink from on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Let me, inshallah ta'ala, end there, and inshallah we'll pick up next week with our belief in Jannah and our belief in the hellfire and then that which comes after it. So today, inshallah ta'ala, this was our belief in the mizan or the scales, and that everyone is going to be weighed and his deeds are going to be weighed in those scales. If they're heavy, he's going to be among the successful. If they're heavy with good deeds, if they're light with good deeds, no good deeds, or heavy with bad deeds, then that person will be among the losers. The sarab that will be placed over the Jahannam, everyone will have to cross over, believer and disbeliever. The people will cross over according to their deeds. The better your deeds are, the faster you get over it, and the worse your deeds are, the slower you get over it, or you might even get thrown off it. And then our belief in the hawd of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the believers who stayed away from the bid'ah would drink of the hawd of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. These are a few points from the belief of the Muslims, and we remind ourselves that our belief increases us in good deeds. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow our belief to increase us in good deeds. Walhamdulillah, wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad, wa subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika, ashadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there are any questions to the topic itself, inshallah we would handle them. And then afterwards, if there are some questions in general, we'll try to entertain as much as we're able to, inshallah ta'ala. Yes.
These
Muslims who practice this, is it that they will be chased away into the fire, or they'll just be chased away into another part of paradise and they won't partake in the brother is asking about the people will be chased away from the hawd for practicing bid'ah. Will they be chased away from the hawd to another place in Jannah, or will they be chased away from it to the hellfire? The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and we believe in all of his statements, he mentions from the beginning that we talked about from the hadith to Sahih Muslim, that every bid'ah is a strain and every strain is in the hellfire. Whoever practices the bid'ah will be in the hellfire. And that this being chased away from the hawd of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salam would enter you, chased away from it into the hellfire, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. However, he makes another point, and I forgot to mention this point, alhamdulillah, that it came up, as this is very, very, very important for us to understand this point and not to transgress this bound. Because we transgress these bounds too often, and it's very serious that we transgress these bounds against the believers. A person who's practicing this bid'ah that makes himself liable to be chased away from the hawd of the Messenger of Allah, to be among the mubtadi'een or the bid'ah practicers, they are the ones who practice this bid'ah intentionally, knowingly, willingly, and persistently. These are the people who are the bid'ah practicers, intentionally, knowingly, willingly, and persistently. These are the people who practice bid'ah. Let's not confuse a Muslim. He may be ignorant, he make a mistake and he fall into something. And we know that the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had taught us from the authentic hadith, and it's in the collection of 40 hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَجَاوَزَ لِي عَنْ أُمَّتِي الْخَطَأَ وَالنِّسْيَانَ وَمَا اسْتُكْرِهُ عَلَيْهِ. Indeed, Allah has forgiven this ummah their mistakes, that which they forget, and that which they are forced to do. This intentionally, he didn't intend to do it, he did it mistakenly. Knowingly, he didn't know, he didn't have any knowledge of it. He's trying to learn his deen, and who knows everything. It came to a point you didn't know, and you fell into it unknowingly. You didn't fall into that thing. I noticed a bid'ah, I'm practicing it anyway. That's the one that's in trouble. Not the one who didn't know. He didn't know. I was doing that? That's a bid'ah? That's not from Islam? Astaghfirullah alladhi la ilaha ghayrah. Go home and tell his family, we were mistaken. We were practicing that thing, was a bid'ah. Repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for practicing that bid'ah. This isn't the person, inshaAllah ta'ala, who the Messenger of Allah is referring to, because he didn't have knowledge of it. He's not willingly just trying to practice bid'ah. What you doing, akhi? I'm just practicing this bid'ah because it feels so good. People do that, akhi. Wallahi, and this is from the tricks of shaitan, and this is from the mentality of the kuffar. Like they say, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right, as they used to say in that song. I don't care I'm wrong. I don't care if I'm wrong, it just feels so good. And you know this, as most of the people on drugs and alcohol, you ask them, what you doing, destroying yourself? Yeah, I know, but it's just so good to me. He just like it so much, he know it's wrong. The person who know that thing is bid'ah and going to practice it anyway, just willingly want to do what's wrong because of his own desires, he just likes it. This is the one that's in trouble. The one that's persistently practicing this bid'ah. You know, some people, and all of us are among those people, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. You know, the first time something comes to you, you just kind of want to reject it. Wait a minute, I ain't never heard of that. You just keep on doing it. The brother telling me, akhi, straighten the road. Fill the gap. Don't leave your foot like this. It's serious. You know, he's trying to, well, I don't know, I've been raised on this. He didn't really see it yet. All right. Over a day, week, whatever, he kind of sees, oh, this is the truth, astaghfirullah, and he comes to it. He's just not persistent. Every time you bring him the truth, get that out of here. You bring him the truth, now I don't want to hear. This is the one who's just persistently on that deviance. He don't want to hear nothing. He don't want to learn anything. He just wants to practice that bid'ah. These people willingly, intentionally, knowingly, persistently are on this type of bid'ah. These are the people who are in trouble. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. This is the understanding of the ulama that I've got from the ulama about the people who practice bid'ah from among the Muslims. Are the Muslims who fall into kufr, or the Muslims who fall into shirk, jazakallah khair, or the Muslims who fall into sin or whatever, that in order to be guilty, you got to be intentional, knowing, willing, and just persistently on that deviance, on that bid'ah, on that kufr, on that shirk, in order for it to be held against you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. For this reason, we have to be careful with just calling somebody a mubtadi'. What you do today, akhi? I was celebrating the Prophet's birthday. Oh, you bid'ah. You see that brother right there? Mubtadi'. You want to see someone who the Prophet ﷺ is talking about that's going to be chased away from the hawd? Look at that brother right there. Subhanallah al-Azim, this is dhulmun azim. This is oppression for your brother. This is wrong in your brother. You can't do that. You don't, just every Muslim who falls into something wrong, it might be a mistake. It might be that he didn't know. He wasn't willing. He might have been forced to whatever. Always give your brother the benefit of the doubt until you can get all of this evidence against him. And really, wallahi, it's hard to get intentionally, willingly, knowingly, and persistently on somebody doing something wrong in Islam. But on those few people who go to that length, these are the people in trouble, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to make us among them. A Muslim school uses the graduation gown in resemblance to the kuffar society. Is that considered a bid'ah? Is the graduation ceremony a bid'ah? Some people say that the Muslims are the ones who started this in the days of Andalus in Spain. The days in Andalus in Spain, that the Muslims are the ones who started the gowns, or this was the dress of the Muslims, the thobe anyway. And they did the ceremony with the people who graduated. Is that a bid'ah or not? I didn't hear of anyone from the ulama saying that that thing was a bid'ah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But we know that it's definitely from this deen to reward the people for doing good, or to show the other people that these people have reached a certain level. As we know that the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he kind of graduated some of his companions to the level of scholarship. Whoever wants to read the Quran exactly the way it was revealed to me, read it like the recitation of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala. Here, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making a statement. You want to get your deen correct? The brother is on it. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made similar statements about others of his companions. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made similar statements about other of his companions in front of the companions to let them know so-and-so has graduated, or so-and-so has reached the level of whatever and whatever expertise that he was in. So the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam had did this, and this is a part of Islam. And the ulama, they have been doing this ever since. Nowadays we call it a graduation. Before they used to just call it an ijazah. As I remember, Hamad al-Ansari rahimahullah, one of the hafizahullah, one of the ulama of Medina from Mali, he used to say, or Mali, however you pronounce it, he used to say every now and then, whoever wants to make sure that they can have someone around them who understands this deen good, take Abdullah al-Bahraini as his friend. Showing what? Abdullah al-Bahraini, he got this thing down. You want to get your deen? Hang around him. So if you got any questions, you ask him. This type of graduation has been used by the ulama, and many of them use it, as one of my sheikh, Abdul Razak al-Abbad. He used to ask me, Abdullah, if you have any trouble outside of school, who helps you? I told him, Muhammad Loh from Senegal. He said, Muhammad Loh, hold on to him, you know, like you glue on whatever or something. Hold on to him, stick with him like that. This is one of the shuyukh, the smaller shuyukh, talking about a brother I used to hang with. And then when that brother, alhamdulillah, was presenting his master's degree, his thesis for his master's degree, the sheikh, when the sheikh was going to debate him, the sheikh said, I know that I'm the sheikh, and I don't know how many people I have debated in order to give them their master's degrees or their doctor's degrees, but right now I should be the student, and that student should be my sheikh. So this was the type of statements from shuyukh that anyone hears this, you say, Subhanallah al-Azim, that brother has graduated to the level of some type of scholarship. At any rate, this is what I know about that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Yes.
Mm. Yes. The brother is asking on the issue of bid'ah, the statement of Umar bin Khattab, ni'matul bid'ah hadhihi, and this is sahih from Sahih al-Bukhari. The meaning, and I'm going to give it like that, oh, what a good bid'ah is this. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu is an Arab, and he spoke in the language of the Arabs, and the word bid'ah in the Arabic language means new in general. Bid'ah in the Islamic terminology of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam means something new in the deen to get closer to Allah, not based on the Quran or the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. This is like the word salah, it has meaning. If somebody asks you what is salah, you say Allahu Akbar. This salah in the Arabic word, in the Arabic language, it means prayer, dua, supplication for someone, and that you have to know the context upon which a word is used in order to know its meaning. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one of the scholars of the Muslims and the second rightly guided Khalifa, was using this word in the linguistical sense, not in the Islamic sense. Why? He was talking about the night salat. Has the night salat been established by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in jama'ah or not? It has been established by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Umar was reviving that and bringing the people back on that, the way that we practice it today. This isn't any new innovation that's not based on the Quran or the Sunnah, used to get closer to Allah. What Umar is doing is encouraging the people to practice Islam that has already been established. And this is from the night salat. So this isn't a proof for anyone to say that there's a good bid'ah. If we were speaking in the Arabic word, like it takes from the verse in the Quran, ما كنتم بدعا من الرسل, I forgot what surah this is in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran is speaking on the tongue of his messenger. I'm not a bid'ah from among the messengers. They probably translated in English, I'm not a newfangled thing from among the messengers. Messengers were sent before me. This is the word bid'ah used in the linguistical sense, and it's even used in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran, for the linguistical sense. We see from Umar ibn al-Khattab that it's from the linguistical sense. Why? Because we can see that that thing that they're doing is based in the book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. It's straightening or perming the hair in the category of changing Allah's creation, and is it haram? Is it changing Allah's creation? I don't know that it's changing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. And is it haram? I don't know that that thing is haram. We have some examples from the Sunnah where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has showed us that a particular thing was changing the creation of Allah. I don't remember any of it being perms. If someone has something else to offer, then they can do so. The man was adding that the perm doesn't change your hair permanently, it's only temporary. And from that, it would seem that it's not a changing of the creation of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and Allah knows best. But I would just add to that point that shaving the beard is changing the creation of Allah, even though your beard can grow back. And I just wanted to make that point to say that if something is going to be changing the creation of Allah, then we need to have a text to show that that thing is changing the creation of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And if it's haram, we need a text from the book of Allah or the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that saying that that thing is haram in order for it to be haram. Otherwise, everything is perfectly permissible until something comes and says that it's haram. And really, it's not even good for the believers to question something that everybody is already doing, something everybody's already happy with, something no one knows anything against it. The question is that haram. Otherwise, I feel that we may fall into that which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us from by saying, "Innama inna a'zama al-muslimina lil-muslimina juraman من سبحان الله. Anyway, I forgot the exact meaning. This hadith is from Al-Bukhari, a Muslim. And maybe some people can find it in the book of Ihtisam from Imam Al-Bukhari. But the Prophet ﷺ is saying, and this is the general meaning, the Muslim with the biggest sin against the other Muslims is the one who, because of his questioning, makes something that was permissible for the believers haram. So your question, if the answer was haram, you can imagine how many Muslims would be jammed up over that, over this statement, for this verdict. And for that, the people should be shy away from questioning something that everybody's already doing. Everybody's doing it. No one knows anything against it. Don't try to get the push to ulama to find something against it, because you will make something prohibited for the believers that used to be permissible. If something is permissible and accepted and no one says nothing against it, let it go. Let it go. If the ulama know something, they'll find something and speak against it and tell the Muslims to stay against that thing. But we don't need to encourage anybody to make a verdict on something that would be harmful to the disbelievers, to the believers, excuse me. Is the playing of cards permissible? I don't know if the playing of cards is permissible. I heard a verdict of the sheikh that playing the cards is batil, that is useless, worthless, no benefit, no good whatsoever. As the Prophet taught us in the authentic hadith that everything that doesn't have the remembrance of Allah in it is useless, worthless, no benefit except four things. A man playing with his wife, learning how to shoot, grooming your riding animal, and swimming. Other than this, your recreation in your fun is useless, worthless, and of no benefit, and Allah knows best. Yes, Akhi. No, no one knows anything against it. Yeah. Prophet ﷺ, he taught us when we make dua to raise our hands up to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, not to have your palms facing down, but your palms to face upward. Think if somebody did this, his palms are facing upward, and someone says this is a bid'ah, hatu burhanakum in kunti sadiqin. Bring your proof if you're truthful. I think that the people, because of their questioning, went too far. And we see the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ about raising your hand, making dua. We see the hadith general. The Prophet ﷺ says, I'm paraphrasing the hadith, Allah is hayyun. Allah is ashamed to turn down two hands that are raised up to him in dua. Alright, how you raise your hands? The Prophet ﷺ mentioned, in normal dua, we raise our hands shoulder length, and for a serious dua, you stretch your hands all the way out. This is from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, from that which has been authentically reported on him. Why are we going to ask, was it like this, that, this close, that close, this far? All of these questions is only to burden yourself. We just stick with what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, as we know that he says, Ala halaka al-mutanati'un, Ala halaka al-mutanati'un, Ala halaka al-mutanati'un, from the hadith of Sahih Muslim. Aren't the people who dig too deep destroyed? Aren't the people who overdo it destroyed? Aren't the people who get too detailed destroyed? This deen, alhamdulillah, is clear and simple, and it's not no tightrope. You're going to tight that rope over that sirat, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us. But in this dunya, it ain't that hard. The sirat al-mustaqim, alhamdulillah, is fat and wide for everybody to walk down it. And nobody should try to make that sirat al-mustaqim like a tightrope, so you can't even make dua. Wait a minute. It's equal to my shoulders, exactly equal like this? I mean, subhanallah al-azim. You don't find Islam like that. You find the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam calling the people to that which is easy for the people to do. And this too many questions. Do we have to talk on too many questions? We did it? Do we do a whole little section on it? Alright, we'll do a whole, inshallah ta'ala, a whole section on, inshallah, too many questions. But it's bad for the Muslims to have too many questions, because it only harms us and doesn't benefit us. Yes.
The
You can remind. The brother is asking, let's keep it just short and brief to the point because we have a lot of questions and the time is short. How often can you remind somebody who's doing wrong to do good? From his family? Okay, how can you remind someone to do good even if they're not doing wrong? We mention all the time. You can remind them 17 million times. Stand in front of the mirror and just keep on going. Stand in front of the mirror and just remind them to do good as many times as you want. Because that's the person who needs the reminder more than anybody else, is that one we see when we look into the mirror. And this is what we should be thinking when we think about reminding somebody, not to remind somebody else. That somebody else ain't going to stand with us on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to make us stand barefoot, naked, and uncircumcised by ourselves, drowning in our own sweat. Sun getting closer to us. Ain't nobody going to be there. You reminding him ain't going to benefit you on that day. And that if we want to remind somebody, that the best person we can remind is ourselves. The best person we can remind is ourselves. And this is what we encourage the people to be more concerned about, reminding themselves than the next person. Because we need to get on it before the next person. Because I don't know, you know, how we benefit from realizing on those scales. What's going to be on there? If that person didn't do right, don't make nothing. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tries to make it clear to us from Surah Al-Abasa, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الصَّاخَّةُ يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِيهِ. When that cry, when that scream on that day, you'll see every person running from his brother and his mother and his father and his marriage partner and his children. Everybody would be overwhelmed with concern about his own self. Ain't nobody going to be, when Yawm al-Qiyamah come, and you see you got to cross that sirat, you can't even imagine the next person. So this is why, if that's going to be our case on Yawm al-Qiyamah, we need to take that thing into consideration right now. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Is it wrong for the sisters to have a henna party because sisters are having something? The Prophet ﷺ encourages us from authentic hadith to use the henna. And I guess if somebody's having a party to do it, it would be good. But if your party has some of that party stuff from Jahiliyyah in it, then that stuff is haram, and we use this for things in general. Don't ask about a whole situation that has a lot of components in it. Ask, is using henna halal? Yes. Inviting sisters over to use henna, okay? Alhamdulillah. Inviting the sisters over to dance and sing and party while you put a henna on each other or something, then that would be another issue. Last week we had a question. I was supposed to start it off with this week about the hudud, and I lost that question. I'm sorry. I was looking for it. I don't know what happened to it, but if someone could write that question over about giving the punishment to the people who transgress the bounds among the Muslims, maybe they can rephrase that question, inshallah, and then we can handle the answer to it. What about one who hangs pictures on, puts up photographs in his or her house, and says that there is nothing wrong with it? Is that a bid'ah? Of course it's a bid'ah to be hanging this stuff on the wall. It's a major sin to be hanging this stuff on the wall. And if somebody has some pictures on their wall and they invite us into their house, we shouldn't enter. As the Messenger of Allah ﷺ wouldn't enter the house that had pictures in it. The Messenger of Allah ﷺ wouldn't enter the house. And we have narrations on the companions of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ that they wouldn't enter places because they had pictures on it. So nobody should hang them on their walls. It's haram. Yes. People and animals. People and animals. People and animals. Everything else is okay, inshallah ta'ala. Is it allowed in Islam to follow a mazhab such as Shafi or Hanafi at the same time keeping an open mind, being willing and ready to follow the truth wherever it is presented, mostly strong, by one of the ulama? I think next week I'll handle the rest of these questions, inshallah ta'ala. It's kind of long, but I'll take the first one, and this will be our last one, inshallah. This issue of following a mazhab, there's two ways to follow a mazhab. One which is shirk, which can lead you to the hellfire, and one which is perfectly permissible and praiseworthy. Following a mazhab, one that could be shirk, and that is if you take that mazhab as a lord besides Allah. Whatever that mazhab says do, doing. Whatever it says don't do, I ain't doing. No matter how much it opposes the Quran and the Sunnah, I'm on that mazhab. This is shirkun billah. This is ascribing partners to Allah, as Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala prohibits us in too many verses, and we know the verse in Surah Tawbah, اتخذوا أحبارهم وربانهم أربابا من دون الله. They have taken their priests and rabbis as lords besides Allah. To follow a mazhab in this way, this is taking it as a lord besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is shirk. As no one has the right like that, except that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed in the Quran or the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That way which is praiseworthy and recommended is, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, طالب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم. Seeking knowledge is compulsory for every Muslim. Everybody has to go and seek knowledge. If you took a mazhab to learn about this deen as a way to learn about this deen, alhamdulillah, this is praiseworthy. As it could be called the mazhab of Abu Muslima. I come here, I have some lessons, I'm preparing it. Each week I'm taking certain topics and whatever. I've already prepared what I'm going to take, why I take these, why I put this in front of that, that behind that, and so on and so forth. This would be, if they wanted to say, this is the way of Abu Muslima. Mazhab means the way of, the school of thought of, or whatever you want to say it. I hope no one takes everything I say and make that the deen. I hope nobody is taking what I say and make it the deen. If you do, it's haram. That's shirkun billah. Nobody can take everything anybody says and make it the deen. But if somebody wants to use this class in order to help him learn Islam, then this is praiseworthy. And that other one is blameworthy. So on this issue of following a mazhab, it could be done correctly or incorrectly. Incorrectly if you use it to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on, if you make it an end. But if you use it to learn this deen as a means, then it's okay. I studied in Medina. Medina has a curriculum. What do you call that curriculum? If you translate it into English, you call it Arabic a mazhab. So this is the same thing. This is the position of the school of Medina. They have certain books, certain curriculum, so on and so forth. If you learn, if you go through it to help you learn to worship Allah, alhamdulillah. If you use it, you say, I'm only going to worship Allah according to the curriculum in Medina, you're astray. So we've tried to handle the rest of the questions, inshallah ta'ala, next week. If someone has something that's important, he should write it down or get the number from the imam. He can give us a call, and we'll try to handle that. But this is all I can handle today. Walhamdulillah. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.